So, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your goodness, your grace, your glory. I thank you that we are in the season of giving and that, Lord, we are learning to steward the gifts from above. So now as I share the word, I ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that our eyes will be opened, ears will be opened, and hearts will be quickened to hear the truth of what you're saying here today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. What I'm going to share with you, I'm going to share quickly, and I'm just going to do an overview because, of course, I showed up with 16 pages of notes, which is my usual mode of operandi. What I'm going to share with you today, I've never heard shared in the church regarding giving. David and I have been so honored and blessed to be in the house of God, to be around the house of God, which is you, for many, many decades now. But I've never heard anybody teach on giving the way the Lord gave it to me over the last several days. And giving is tied to an expression of righteousness. And in fact, the word for righteousness in Hebrew is tzedekah. And it literally means an act of righteousness that comes from our duty to help others in need. It's sometimes understood as charity, but the root word literally means justice or fairness. In the Hebrew mindset, you cannot separate righteousness from giving. You cannot separate righteousness from giving. And so there's a lifestyle that we develop in the Lord. The Hebrew roots of giving was about an overflow of our relationship with God and then towards others. It's all about love. It's not about a formula. We were raised in the faith movement. Thank God for the foundations of the faith movement that we were raised up in. It helped to forge us and form us in very primary truths regarding what the Bible says about faith and giving and standing on the word of God. And it saved my life a couple times, actually. Got two new body parts just, you know, believing God fearlessly, right? But the truth is that as the years have gone by, the Lord has brought in even a more comprehensive understanding of what does that mean to flow with the Father and be led by Holy Spirit in all things. Amen. Not just to consume things upon our own lusts or because we desire something, but because the Father is showing us the preparation that he is for us. Amen. And so giving flows from our relationship first to God, and then to the people around us. And in fact, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You can tell where a person's heart is by looking at their checkbook, by looking at their bank statement. Okay? Where is their money going? That's going to tell you where their heart is, because Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be in Matthew 6:19. In fact, he goes on to say, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So it's all about love. You see, for God so loved the world that he gave. It's all about love. It's not a formula. I know many ministers, and I could name many ministers that I can tell you the formulas. I was taught them all. But it's really about love and being led by Holy Spirit, amen? Because love gives. In fact, some have become very grieved with the whole teaching of giving because when they gave, they left love and started following a formula. Well, if I'll give this percentage, then I'll get this blessing. And it wasn't about meeting the needs of others or being led by Holy Spirit. It was about pressure and manipulation. And I need this, so I'm going to give this. Now, I can't tell you that some of that doesn't work. It does. There are some things I have to tell you that are kingdom truths and that God sees faith. So there's people I know that give. They'll give a certain amount based on a certain scripture. Maybe it's Psalms 100, like 11:1 or something, and it's some promise or something, and so they give $111, and God will bless them because Jesus sees their faith, right? And I understand that, but I think there's a higher truth here that the body of Christ is ready to walk in, and that's the love realm, where we actually just take off the boundaries of formulas, of pressure, of mandates, of I'm going to give because I want to get. And just give because we love. And just give because everything we have belongs to the Lord. And so it's an incredible journey that we're on into maturity. Amen. So some have become grieved when they give because they left love and started following a formula. In the Old Testament, there were four different tithes. There were different ways of giving. And in fact, we know the scriptures. Many of you, how many of you are familiar with Malachi 3? I'm going to read that to you. It's important because I'm going to come back to this. There's a type of giving called the tithe. Can you say the tithe? That's one of several types of giving I'm going to share with you quickly this morning. The tithe means a tenth. Tithe means a tenth. Okay. Now there's a promise in the Old Testament regarding the tithe. Okay. There were four different tithes in the Old Testament. In Malachi 3, there's promises attached to, and it says, will you rob God in Malachi 3:8? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, and how have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. This is the Lord's response. Now an offering is what you give to the Lord that is not the tithe. It's not 10%. It's above and beyond, or as led by Holy Spirit. And I'm going to explain. I'm going to wrap this up for you, okay? But I'm taking you somewhere in this. Have you robbed God in tithes and offerings? And then it goes on. He says, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring the tithes. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. So now he's saying, if you will bring the tithe and the offering into the storehouse, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to rebuke Satan. I'm going to rebuke the devourer so he won't be able to destroy the fruit of the ground. And your vine will not fail. And, you know, you're going to have a lot of fruit. And he says, and all the nations will call you blessed, and so forth. So there's something about the tithe in the Old Testament where it talks about this principle, as when you give to the Lord is going to bless you. And especially when it talks about the tithe. And I'm going to come back to this because I'm going to take you somewhere else first. Okay. It goes on to say in the same verse, is interesting because the people start complaining and they're like, well, what good does that do me? I'm giving all this money and what am I getting out of it? And then it goes on and says, but those that fear my name, there's a book of remembrance written, and they're in the book. So it's all about the way you give from the heart. So let's talk about this. It says that as you give to the Lord in tithes and offerings, and you bring it into the storehouse. Now, there's different thoughts on this. One of them is, hey, we're all the body of Christ. So you know what? Debbie's the temple of Holy Spirit. I can give her a tenth of the money and there you go. She's a temple. I don't need to give into a church. Some people think that way. But the truth is the storehouse is Ephesians 4:11. God's put in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There's places where you're fed. Now they may be parachurch ministries. There may be different ones that people give into, and that's as led by Holy Spirit. But where's the place you're getting fed spiritually? Okay. Now it's interesting because it says that if you'll do this, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. Now, that is an agricultural term. How many of you come from farming families? You know about agriculture. You know about irrigation. When the headgate was opened, the floodgate was opened, the water would come rushing down into the ground. Well, as that water rushed in, it would be so saturated that everything needed to grow crops would be saturated into the ground, and the rest would run off into what was called a borrow ditch. Can you say a borrow ditch? And guess what that was for? That was for the neighbor to go ahead and take from the surplus. It's all about a flow, beloved. It's all about the flow of Holy Spirit. You see, as we give to God in our tithes, in our offerings, or however Holy Spirit leads, there's a flow. And he promises, I'm going to pour out water. Well, we know this is a parable. This is a parable of John 7. He says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And of this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. Well, this is pretty incredible. When the head gate or the floodgates opened, so much water went into the ground that it was saturated. So what was extra belonged to the neighbor. The overflow goes to the people around us. Okay, as Holy Spirit leads, there's more than enough. And it kind of sounds like what Paul said, you having all sufficiency in every good work, amen? It's all about a flow. Can you say it's all about the flow? As we flow with Holy Spirit, you see again, here's the floodgates, the water's running, the provision is coming. But Jesus said, he that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You see, revelation is the reward of giving. Now trust a prophet to make it all about revelation. Well, it is. Hello. When you give to the Lord, there's an outpouring of Holy Spirit in your life that will lead you and guide you into what the Father has provided for you. You see, when you give to the Lord, you open up the door of provision for your Heavenly Father to lead you and to guide you into what he's provided. Amen? For example, Holy Spirit's poured out, bringing blessings, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and guiding you into the provision of the Father. You see, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, as it is written, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things which the Father has prepared. Say that with me. The Father has prepared. He knows what you need for your mortgage payment, that medical bill that came due, those tires that need to be replaced, the car that broke down. He knew when somebody handed me the key to a Lexus that is sitting out there in the parking lot, that a week and a half later, my car would die. My 20-year-old Camry would die when I was driving on the 210 freeway in Pasadena. The Father knew it was going to die. So somebody had already given me that Lexus sitting out there. Now, Firepoint Church did not buy me a Lexus. It's important for me that you know that. Somebody literally gave it to me, okay? Why? Because God is really merciful. Hello. Like, really, I would have been happy with a Volkswagen. Hello. But anyway, in the meantime, revelation is a reward of giving. As we give, the floodgates of Holy Spirit are opened up to us. We're going to begin to have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Remember when I told David, you know, get our money out of the stock market because it's going to fall. I don't know everything, okay? 2008, right? Holy Spirit guides us, right? What do we need, right? So supernatural occurrences will happen. The Lord will say, okay, buy that house and sell it at a certain time. So David and I have bought a couple of different houses right now. We rent right now. But there's been times in our past where we bought at certain times and the Lord said, okay, sell now. And several times, one time we made $100,000. The other time we made $180,000 by just living in houses for 6 years or less. One of them we only lived in the house 3 years. But just being led by Holy Spirit, buying when God said buy and sell when God said sell. Now, that's a biblical principle. In Proverbs 31, you talk about the virtuous woman. She bought land. She invested. She was always working with her hands. She had multiple streams of income. Amen? So I'm talking a little bit about, well, you know, sometimes Holy Spirit will lead you into different ways of making money. Amen. And so This is all based upon revelation. See, he says in John 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. So little nudges here and there, you know. But, you know, buy this at this certain time, or invest in that at a certain time, or something breaks. Like, how many times has something broke and you prayed and God fixed it? Hello. I mean, seriously, raise your hand. Come on. I cannot tell you how many times something broke and then God fixed it. Thank you so much. God, I'm healed 2,000 years ago in Jesus' name. This is how you go. This is how you do it, man. You're just like, I'm healed 2,000 years ago. Okay, sanitize this. Okay, Lord Jesus, amen. So, amen. We saw this with Jeremiah the prophet. When God told him in Jeremiah 32, he says, go buy a field. And he says, because what's going to happen? He had a word from the Lord. The Lord spoke to him. And the Lord said to him, go buy this field, and when you buy it, take the deed and stick it in an earthen vessel and bury it in the ground. Because the Chaldeans are going to come into this country and they're going to burn everything to the ground, so nothing will be safe. But when you come back to this land, your title deed will still be there. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Do you hear me? Revelation. Your giving opens up the door for Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into the provision of the Father. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be a millionaire. Not everybody is called to be a millionaire. However, having all your needs met, having all sufficiency, some are called to the gift of giving. They have a grace to give. Some people are called to steward thousands and thousands and millions of dollars because they know that God knows that their heart won't be taken away from the Lord because of, the Bible calls it filthy lucre in the King James Version. Mammon, okay? Money can corrupt people's hearts, okay? So God knows who can handle winning the lottery, right? And who cannot, or who can have millions and millions of dollars. But the provision of the Father will be there. And may I tell you that here in the United States, having been to Cuba before, the Philippines, Mexico, different places, we live like millionaires. I don't care if you live in the trailer park, wherever. You live like a millionaire. You live like a millionaire. I don't, unless you're homeless here in Southern California, you live like a millionaire, okay? And even the homeless here have food if they want it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. The provision of the Father will come, and he will lead you and guide you as you give to him as led by Holy Spirit, okay? So we saw it again where Revelation came to Jacob. God spoke to Jacob in a dream, and through an angel gave him a supernatural ability to prosper, gave him a supernatural strategy to prosper. Basically, it was when the cattle were going to breed, and he cut, made the sticks with cuts and stripes, and basically, when the cattle looked and saw the striped and speckled sticks, that was what they produced, because what you see is what you produce. We're going into 2020. This is a side note here. We're going into 2020. Second Chronicles 20:20. Believe the prophets and you'll prosper. What you see and you speak is very important in 2020. Because the cattle looked at the speckled and spotted sticks when they conceived. That's what they brought forth. So watch what you're watching in 2020. Amen? That's a little bit of free stuff there. So the power to get wealth is so that he may establish his covenant with you. It's all about relationship. It's not for you to hoard it all to yourself. Mine, my precious. You know, it's about a flow. Can you say it's about a flow? Now, there is wisdom in how God leads you and guides you. The Bible says that a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children. Amen. And you have to know what is for seed to plant and what is seed to eat. You need to be led by Holy Spirit, and you need to ask for wisdom, okay? It's really important that you pay your rent or your mortgage, right? But there's times when God will challenge you, okay? That's an individual thing, is led by Holy Spirit. But what is for seed to plant and what is seed to eat? In other words, you need to be a faithful steward of your finances. You need to operate in a spirit of excellence, debt reduction, stewarding your finances well. Do you understand? Because the Bible says if you cannot be faithful over filthy money, how can you be faithful over the kingdom of God? He actually links your stewardship of money with your heart and how you steward the kingdom of God. Do you understand? Okay. So the power to get wealth is about a relationship with God. There's different ways of bringing in income. We see that in Proverbs 31. Giving is about a flow, first from the Father, then to you, and then to others, and then back to you. James 1:17 says, every gift, every perfect gift is from the Father. And then it says in Luke 6 that as you give, it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, it will be measured back to you. So as you give, it'll be given back to you, the Bible says. Men will give back to you, it says as well. So the gifts come from the Father, and then we give them as Holy Spirit leads, and then it comes back to us. It's all about a flow. Can you say flow? There's a financial flow, and it's all based upon the leading and guidance of Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So there's a grace attached to your giving. 2 Corinthians 9:1. I don't want to read all of this, but it talks about they're preparing a gift and they're getting it ready ahead of time. So that you can be able to give to the saints in need, the Apostle Paul was telling them. But in verse 6, it says, in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Okay, can you say that with me? He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Amen. So let each of us, as he purposes in his heart, as he what? Purposes in his heart. It is a thin line that ministers walk when they start pumping the offering. You know what I'm saying? How many of you have been around long enough to know what I'm talking about? Please be led by Holy Spirit. It is so important that you purpose in your own heart, what is God telling you to give? I've been in some meetings where I want to just empty out my entire bank account. And then thank God I'm married to this man, because we have an agreement that I only spend a certain amount. And then beyond that, I need to talk to him about it. So we have accountability with each other, and same way with him. Because otherwise I'd be like, honey, the great blah, blah, blah is in town and he wanted us to give. And if we give this, then we're going to get a yacht, you know. And I'm like, it's so razzly and dazzly. And I'm believing it. I'm like, yeah, it feels so anointed. You know, and I've had conversations with some of these ministers. Now, I cannot tell you that there's not a blessing in giving as Holy Spirit leads, because I'm telling you, God will bless your socks off. And there is no, God sees every single thing you give, and everything you give, there's a reciprocity and it will be multiplied back to you. But I have sat across the table of ministers and looked them in the eye and I said, you need to be careful about the people you're ministering to. Because you're making promises about things, and some of these people that are coming in, you need to be taking the money out of that offering and giving it to them. I am not the most favorite person to that person anymore. But we need to be careful. David and I honestly think about the people we minister to. The Bible says to be watchful over the flock, okay? I really struggled with driving the Lexus because honestly, I felt like it was a little more garish for me than what I felt comfortable with, right? But that's what Papa said, so I'm like, okay, God, what you say. But we want to be careful about, you know, what are your needs? It is a 2012, but for me, it's like, wow. But you know what I'm saying? We want to be careful about how do we handle our finances? Let me explain. David and I set up Firepoint Church. Now, we could have set it up any way we wanted to. We had an empty slate. We could have done anything we wanted regarding the way we set up the bylaws. We purposely set up this church where we are not in control of one penny. Not one penny. All of it goes through a board. It is not even in our hands. All of it goes to the accounting office. We don't know who gives what, and we don't want to know. Because I'm not going to love the person that gives $2 any less than the person that just gave $20,000. I'm not going to look at you like a giving unit, which some churches teach. Do you understand me? We set up the church so that we could steward your hearts and we would be accountable for every single penny. We don't get to do anything on our own, and we set it up that way. Financially, we have oversight not only with our finances. We have another board. We have two boards. One of the boards can actually take us out of the ministry, and we set it up that way because of not stewarding the finances well, or because of moral issues, or because of doctrinal issues. Okay, it's important you hear this. Okay, so there is a grace, though, attached to your giving. And in fact, it goes on in 2 Corinthians 9. It says that if you give sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Give what you have purposed in your heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Do not ever let anybody turn the screws on your giving. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Millennials can feel it a mile away. And the Z generation, why do you think they don't flock into the church like they should yet? Because they know when they're being squeezed. Do you understand? We need to be led by Holy Spirit. But that being said, beloved, when you give, immediately grace is opened up in your life. And it's miracle grace, in fact. It goes on to say that the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. But in verse 8 it says, And God is able to make all grace. Can you read that with me? And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work. Now look at these words. This is amazing. Grace abounding to you. You know what grace is? It's favor. Favor is not only grace, it's a force. When you give to the Lord, I am telling you what, immediately you step into a favor zone. Uncanny favor, you know, like getting a parking space in front of Trader Joe's and, you know, getting refunds in the mail. Like we've had up to $2,000 given back to us in our tax return that we weren't supposed to get. And I'm like, Harry, should we return it? Should we contact him? He's like, no, don't do it. You know, just be led by Holy Spirit. Just if they need it back, they'll let you know, whatever. Is that on Facebook? Oh, well, God bless y'all. Anyway, so, you know, money multiplied. Why? Because it says you're going to have all sufficiency and you're going to have an abundance for every good work. What do you need to do? What do you want to do? It's part of the reason why I know I'm supposed to go to Cuba. The money has just almost all come in. And all I had to do was turn in that direction. The provision will be for the vision. What has God put in your heart? The money will come. The finances will come because you're going to have crazy favor. You're going to have all sufficiency and you're going to have abundance. And then it's amazing because it goes on and it says, he has dispersed abroad, given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Amen. So giving to the Lord, giving to the poor. In verse 10, it says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you've sown and increase. So it's really crazy because it says that there's going to be multiplication, miracle multiplication on what you sow. Now that is supernatural. You put a seed in the ground and then it comes up multiplied. Okay? This is the promise from the Father. While you're enriched in everything for the way that you give generously, for all liberality. Amen? So you need to know that grace and favor follow us. Your car gets fixed. Reduction in taxes. Unexpected refunds. You know, the window breaks and your neighbor's like, hey, I can fix that. No worries. I'll just pay me for the supplies. I'll fix it for you for free. How many of you had amazing, crazy favor when it comes to stuff and it saved you hundreds and hundreds of dollars? Amen. So it might not be hard, cold cash in your hand. But it'll be something so supernatural. I've had, when we were young, you know, we had like, we were just like raising our kids and, you know, it was kind of like paycheck to paycheck. Well, it's kind of that way now, but anyway, Jesus is Lord. But there's always abundance though. It's just like everything we need is just there when we need it. But, you know, appliances would break and I'd be, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you just fix this refrigerator? And boop, it'd come back on, you know? So crazy stuff, you know, God is so good, crazy favor, amen. So it's not about a percentage though, and I'm going to bring it back to the tithe. The tithe is where you start. I'm going to cut ahead because I need you to hear my heart. Everything we have belongs to the Lord. Just take the percentage off. David and I believe in the tithe. In fact, and I can tell you this, see, the alms is what you give to the poor. And the Bible says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. So you don't talk and brag about what you give to the poor. But I'm going to tell you as a testimony to the Father's provision. David and I, we don't even tithe per se on the gross. We tithe on the net. We tithe on the gross. And that's just where we start. It's all about the flow. That's just where we start, right? So it's all about a flow, being led by Holy Spirit. The Father blesses us, we pour it out, and then it comes back to us multiplied. That's the way it works. And in fact, he told the rich young guy, he said, you know, what do I have to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? And because this Jesus knew that this the money owned him, he didn't own the money. The money owned him. He said, give everything you have away. And the guy went away sorrowful. He couldn't do it, he said, because he was very rich. You see, the money had him. He didn't have the money. But what do you think would have happened to him if he'd given it all away? Oh, my. Complete freedom. Complete restoration financially. He would have had all of it restored plus, because that's the way God works. Amen. And so there's different kinds of giving. There's offerings. There was different kinds of offerings in the Old Testament. I'm not going to go into all of that right now. There's alms, which you give to the poor. So important. The Bible says that he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord and the Lord will repay him. When you give to the poor, you pay it forward. You put it in an invisible bank account that God says, I will pay you back. When you look around the room and you find out somebody needs help with their rent, you see, the Bible says in Acts that they had everything in common. They didn't have, you know, welfare or SSI or whatever. The church provided for the needs of the people. So when you look around and you see people are short on their rent or they don't have money for Thanksgiving dinner or whatever it is, and God puts it in your heart to help them out, the Bible says, aha, got you. Now I'm going to repay you. And do you think God is going to repay us abundantly? Absolutely. When you give to the poor, you pay it forward. Amen. So you want to give it secretly. Matthew 6 says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. When it comes to giving to the poor, you don't want to go around bragging about it, okay? He said the Pharisees were hypocrites because they went around telling everybody about it and bragging about it, okay? God doesn't look at what you give as much as he looks at what you didn't give. What are you holding back and what are you saying? God, you can have everything, but you can't have that. Mark 12 talks about the woman. He called his disciples. There was a poor widow in Mark 12. There's a poor widow came through in two alms. And he called his disciples and said to her, "Assuredly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who's given into the treasury before her." It's not what you give so much as what you didn't give. What were you not willing to give? It's an attitude of the heart. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, there is righteous, faithful stewardship of money. Again, you need to know what seed to eat. In other words, what do you use for yourself? Pay your bills, be responsible, be a good example, and what is to give away? Amen? So let's go back to the tithe, and I'm going to end with this, although it may not be very short, because I really said all of that to say this. The blessings in Malachi 3, I believe, this is your pastor talking, I'm sharing with you my belief, okay? All of this is between you and Holy Spirit. How you give is very, very personal. Many believe that tithing was in the Old Testament, and it doesn't apply to us today. Now, I'm sharing with you personally for myself. Not only do I believe in the principle of the tithe according to Malachi 3, but I have found it to be completely true now. David and I believe in the tithe. We've always tithed. We tithed when we didn't even have money. We just put it on a credit card. Now, I'm not saying to do that, but I am saying God was like, oh my goodness, they're really serious about this. You know, and the debt was going up and up and up, and then he got this really great job and we paid it all off. I'm not saying you should do that, okay? Give responsibly, right? Like they say on the radio now, give responsibly. But I'm like, God, I am going to prove you, because everything I have is yours, and I'm not giving to get. I'm giving because this is yours. In fact, if I find out I'm late on the tithe, I'll bump it up and give more. I'm like, I'm going to give him back some interest, right? This is just me. Can you say, this is me, okay? This is just me. So I'm telling you, though, the principles of Malachi 3, I have seen work in David and I's life through the years over and over and over again. And let me tell you what's so precious and powerful about Malachi 3. And why I believe the tithe is for today. See, the Bible tells about the first time a tithe was given. And it's when Abraham met with a priest by the name of Melchizedek. Can you say Melchizedek? Let's talk about Melchizedek. In Genesis 14, I love how some of you, you're like, oh yeah, I got this. Where's my girl? I heard her. She's like, oh, yeah, she heard me. I heard her. I don't know where she's at, but I heard her voice. And she's like, oh, yeah, she knows where we're going with this. This is so good. I love this. I love this because everything I have is his. And I will give it, lay it all down again and again and again because he gave it all for me. It is such an honor to give to him. So in Genesis 14, there was a big battle between five kings went out to war against four kings. And in this battle, they swept up Lot, which was Abraham's uncle or something, nephew. And so they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and they took his goods, and they took off, and they left. So Abraham gets armed, his 318 trained servants who were born in his house, and he went and he pursued them, and he divided his forces against them by night, and his servants attacked them. They pursued him and so it turns out he brought back all the goods, and he brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the children. So he went after him. He got all the belongings. Well, then it turns out the king of Sodom went out to meet him. And then in verse 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Okay, now here we have Abram giving tithe to this high priest, Melchizedek. Well, what does that have to do with us? And notice it's Melchizedek, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Amen. And then I'll tell you what it has to do with us. In Hebrews 6:19, it says that this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him, and Abraham gave him a tenth, being translated king of righteousness. Then the king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, verse 3, this is talking about Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually, forever. Jesus is Melchizedek. This was a Christophany. I believe that Jesus was Melchizedek in the Old Testament, because here we have in the New Testament, Hebrews, it goes on and talks about in verse 4, now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of all his spoils. In verse 6, but he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And it goes on and it says, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. And I'm just going to skip down. And it talks about the priesthood and this new priesthood that we have through King Jesus, who is Melchizedek. Verse 15, and it is yet far more evident in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So I believe that when I give my tithe, I offer it before the high priest of my profession, King Jesus. I remember for many years, Deuteronomy 26 became very real to me because it talks about when you bring your offering and your tithe before the high priest, offer it before him and cry out to him and declare who he is to you and who you are to him. I'm not going to go into all of it. Please make a note of it. Deuteronomy 26. You make a declaration, I will serve you all of my life. And this is a token of my devotion to you with my offering, with my tithe, and with every other thing that Holy Spirit leads me. Amen. Stand to your feet. Repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Thank you, Father, that every good gift comes from you. Today, I decree and declare that everything I have is yours. Everything I am is yours. Lead me and guide me how to give, how to be a blessing, and to pour out the abundance that you have given me. In your mighty name, amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Praise God.